And well, no. Look at the young lady's wearing a black necklace. See that line across her neck? That's her necklace. And this side's gonna say, no, that's an old lady's mouth. She has no teeth. And we'll go back and forth, with no resolution. The only way this side of the room is going to see the older woman is if they change their perspective. The only way this side is going to see the young lady is if they change their perspective. Brothers and sisters, we need to change our perspective. For so long, we've been thinking, oh, we're from planet Earth, and we're going to go to a new place someday. Our new perspective is we are from heaven. God sent us here on Earth for 50, 60, 70, 80 years, 90 if you're lucky, some maybe even longer, but it's not very long. While we're here on Earth, we are ambassadors. Everywhere we go, we're an ambassador. The next time you go to the grocery store, you're not going to the grocery store, you're going to the mission field. The next time you go to Target or Walmart, you're not going to the store, you're going to the mission field. Now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean you got to stand there with your Bible and say, you know, repent, everyone, repent. That's not very effective. It's just looking for opportunities to share the love of God. You wake up in the morning, you say, God, I only have so many hours today, like everyone. Please direct me as your ambassador. Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to meet today? Now, don't say that if you're a wimp, because God's going to lead you to people. I do the grocery shopping in my family. My wife does most of the cooking. I do most of the shopping. Because of my East Coast type A personality, I have no patience for all the coupon clippers that go during the day. So I go on a Friday night, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. The store is empty. I have Cub Foods in West St. Paul memorized. So I zip up and down the aisles on a Friday night, and then I get to the checkout. Now, this is a story, this is an older story, 2 years ago. I stopped at the checkout. I'm an ambassador. So I said to the woman checking me out, I said, hello, ma'am, how are you doing tonight? Ah, I got a bad back. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'll say a prayer for you. Now, don't think of me more highly than you ought to. It wasn't like I went outside in the parking lot and got on my knees and did the Stations of the Cross for her. No, I didn't do that. I just pushed my card out and I said, Lord, that grumpy lady has a bad back. If it's your will, please heal her. That's all she got. The next Friday, I went back into the store. I zipped up and down the aisles. Guess who my checkout lady was? The same lady. No, it wasn't a miracle. She works Friday nights. I go to the store on Friday nights. Okay, but then I'm excited. It's her. And I said, hello, ma'am. How's your back? She said, what are you talking about? I said, I was here last Friday. I said, how you doing? You said you had a bad back. I said I would say a prayer for you. I said a prayer for you. How's your back? She said, oh, it still hurts. Keep praying, kid. See, you were hoping for a better story, right? 2 years later, her back still hurts. But she says things like this now. Hey, kid, pray for my grandson. He's got a hockey tournament this weekend. Hey, kid. She calls me kid. I love it. But I'm the kid who prays. I don't know if she's ever gonna not be grumpy. But we have somewhat of a friendship, the kind of friendship you can have when you're only there 5 minutes on a Friday night checking out your groceries. Another story. So all of our missionaries travel around the country, but we have a set of 24 young adults, college grads, who supervise the teams. And they live in these men's and women's households in West St. Paul. And then they fly out to visit the teams wherever they are. So one of the houses that has one, like we have two women houses and two men's houses. One of the women's houses needed a new mattress. So we're at the Slumberland, not the Slumberland, it's like the mattress warehouse, whatever it is, on Robert Street in West St. Paul, Minnesota. And the store is just filled with mattresses. No one was in there. There was like no customers except for us. It was four ladies from the house and me. I was the guy with the credit card. So now our supervisors, these young ladies, they were mature college grads, so they were not doing what some of your grandchildren might do. They were not bouncing on the bed mattresses. They were not doing that. They were doing belly flops on the bed instead. So they're testing out all the mattresses, just kind of acting like they were 10, even though they were 20, and they're just doing belly flops and just checking out which mattress do they want. And I just, I was kind of in teacher mode. And I said, ladies, there's the woman, the checkout lady over there. Why don't one of you at least go and talk to her, see how her day's going? We're ambassadors, remember? So I said, because I was in teaching mode, I said, come on, I'll show you. So we went over to the lady. I said, hi, ma'am, how you doing? It's my one line. It's like my opening, right? And she said, and I kid you not, oh, not too good. My brother was driving his motorcycle across the Rocky Mountains, was hit by an 18-wheeler. His wake is tonight. I'm the manager of this store. If I didn't work this shift, I would lose my job. I said, ma'am, can we pray with you? Oh yeah, that'll be good. And I nudged one of the ladies, she put her hand on her shoulder, and we just said a little prayer. We would have missed that opportunity. Here's this woman whose brother is spread out, and I'm not trying to be graphic, I'm sorry, all over the Rocky Mountains for I don't, and we would have, if we just went in thinking, I'm just here to buy a mattress, have a little fun, and go on our merry way, we would have missed that opportunity to pray for a woman who is just grieving. How many opportunities are out there? If you wake up tomorrow and say, God, I'm your ambassador, show me what you want me to do, lead me to someone, he's going to. And I'm just guessing, because I've mingled with some of you after the talks the last couple of nights. Some of you have incredible stories. I'm talking to the choir here. You've been doing this for years, and thank you. Thank you for your witness. But we have to realize it's not a church thing. Like, one of the reasons, the main reasons Vatican II was called was that Catholics had this idea that being Catholic was for Sunday Mass and maybe some other activity during the week, but that was it. And people were living two different lives. You know, like they have their Friday night life, and then they had their Sunday morning life. And there was a gap. And so the Second Vatican Council was, how do we help Catholics live one life all across the board? How do we bring the gospel? How do we open the windows and bring the gospel out? And I fear that some of us are still doing that. Not maybe us here tonight, but in the church it's kind of like, yeah, I'm Catholic. I go to Mass once in a while. But that's where it ends. As ambassadors, if you were the U.S. ambassador to Switzerland or wherever, even if it's your day off, you're still the ambassador. Everyone in Switzerland's going to know you're the U.S. American ambassador. That's how we're supposed to be as Catholics. We're always on duty. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, we're always Jesus' ambassadors. I noticed one of the gentlemen gave me a cross the other night. There's a movement here, the Men of the Cross. What a fantastic idea, because it's this big, bold, like, bling, bling cross. Like, it's a big cross. People are going to notice and say, whoa, why are you wearing that? What a great idea. But it's not necessarily what you wear on the outside. It's how we're living our lives. That was step one. But something like that is a great idea because it's going to raise questions. To boldly wear the crucifix is like, whoa. Two more steps. The next one is to reach out and invite others into your life. Some of you might think, wow, this guy David, he's kind of shallow. He doesn't really talk real deep. I'm going to give you my deepest thought. Are you ready for this? I have to summon all my mental energy. This is my deep thought for the night. Whew. Okay. If we're going to be effective in evangelization, then we need to be in relationship with people who need to be evangelized. See, some of you don't get it. Let me do it again. If we're going to be evangelists, then we need to be in relationship with people who need evangelization. See, what happens for a lot of us that are Catholic and that love the church and love our life, we kind of build a little city, a little wall around it. All of our friends are in church. We come to morning mass, we stay for a couple hours, we do things with our church friends. If we stay in our little church group all the time, then how are we going to meet people and get to know them that need to hear the gospel? We need to be out there. That's another one of the big thrusts of Vatican II is, you know, Father is taking care of the parish. He can't be out at Walmart every day and out the places where we are working and playing. Your pastor can't do that. That's our job, is to be in the world as ambassadors. So we need to reach out. Sometimes it's like, okay, I have my Catholic friends, and then I have my Catholic relatives, but these people, the cross goes on the inside. I don't talk about God with them. And it's like, we got to reach out to people. Our neighborhood, and I think the Twin Cities do it. I think it's probably a national thing. It's called National Night Out. You know, they close off the road. You have a little picnic with your neighbors. Do you guys do that here? So in our neighborhood, we just rotate houses. And it's kind of funny because just the way society is now, I don't even know most of my neighbors, but we get together once a year and have a little picnic. And one year it was at my house, and I just said, hey, let's just, if you don't mind, we're going to start with a prayer. I didn't get on my knees and say, oh, Lord, we beseech you, send out your spirit, because that's going to probably alienate some people that don't even, in fact, I didn't even do bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, because some of my neighbors might not know that. All I did was I bowed my head and said, Jesus, thank you for this meal. Thank you for the time we have together. Amen. I did that for two reasons. Number one, I wanted my neighbors, well, I wanted to thank God for the food. Number two, I wanted my neighbors just to send out, I wanted to send out a little bit of a little announcement, so to speak, that I'm a guy that prays. Sure enough, a couple days later, my next door neighbor, Ray, he's given me permission to share this story. I've known Ray for a couple years before that. We would talk about the weather, but that's about it. And he said, Dave, I'm a recovering alcoholic. He hadn't drunk and he hasn't drinking anything in years. He said, you know, I went through AA, and one of our steps is we have to surrender to a higher power. He goes, I noticed the other day you said a prayer. Tell me about your higher power. And since that day, we would have these great conversations about faith. And all it took was me just saying, hey, we're just going to say a simple prayer. If any of you work with youth or help out with religious education, Father and I were just talking about this at dinner, that there's so many hoops you have to jump through to work with youth in the church, right? You have to do like background checks and virtues training, and it's almost like, man, I can't even go near people because it's too dangerous. But we have to. We just have to be smart about how we reach out to others. You can't have the whole parish over to your house for dinner. But what about that one family that you noticed them? You see their squirrely kids running around, but they look kind of ragged. Like they just kind of like, you know, the ragged mom look when you have like four little kids. Why not say, hey, I'm so-and-so. Why don't you, we're going to have you over for dinner. It's amazing the simple gestures that change people's lives. We think of great evangelists. We think of, you know, St. Francis Xavier. We think of all these great missionaries that travel the world preaching the gospel, and that's fantastic. But really what we need is men and women that are inviting people over for dinner, sharing the gospel, sharing their love. And the last point is to talk about Jesus. This is the funniest thing. And it's not funny, ha-ha, but funny, ironic. Do you guys have Donut Sunday once in a while after Mass? Every week? Whoa, this is like one of the top parishes, right? So every week, Donut Sunday. Okay, here's the deal. On this outline, my email address is on the bottom. When you go to Donut Sunday, if you hear anyone talk about Jesus, now it can't be someone in this room because the secret's out. If you hear anyone else mention the name of Jesus, email me and I'll send you a dollar. Now, listen, it can't be someone that spills coffee on themselves and they say, oh, dude! If someone uses the Lord's name in vain, you got to send me a dollar. It's amazing. No one is talking about Jesus. Think about it. We just came from Mass, right? So, like 10 minutes before Donut, we were in here. And Father held up the wafer that is not a wafer. It's really Jesus' body and blood, soul and divinity. It's Jesus himself. We just received Jesus in the Eucharist. It's amazing. I mean, think about it. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the Old Testament heroes never would have imagined that we could come in to God's presence and not only come into his presence, but he's going to come into our life. Amazing. Never would any, I mean, King David, Solomon, none of these guys, Moses would never think about God's going to become a piece of bread and we're going to receive him, and never would have imagined that. We come to Mass, we experience that, and then we go in there, and what do we talk about? The weather.